the offseason been for Colton Wong?
It's been good. Got to go back to the roots, man, go back to Hawaii, train with the guys that, you know, I've trained with for a while, and, you know, just get back to the small things. So it was good.
When you go back and you're getting back to the roots, is that just some mechanical things you get back to, just some basic stuff? Is it the mindset of being back on the islands? I mean, what was the biggest thing that hit you?
Definitely the mindset. You go back to Hawaii, man, it's just, you know, you understand where you came from and, you know, what gave you that drive to get to where you're at right now. So the mindset for sure was something that, you know, I needed. But, yeah.
Now it's cool.
The mindset was a big part of your performance last year.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, man, last year was a year I needed something to just, you know, look back at and take positives and know that, you know, I can have success at this level. And to do that was something that I know that it's going to be drastic for me this year. And, man, the confidence I'm coming in with this year, I'm excited to just get back out there and start playing.
How are you physically with all the banged up, you know, little things that were going on?
Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah, I've been, you know, as soon as the season ended, you know, obviously ended early for us, so got back to work as early as I could. I knew I wanted to stay on the field, man, and just get my body into the best physical shape I could. So I put in the work this offseason, did what I needed to do, and I'm ready to get after it.
Did you do anything differently to make sure shoulders and all that kind of stuff are stronger?
Or? Just adding different things to my workout regimen, you know, not just lifting. You know, I did a lot of yoga, Pilates, things that, you know, puts your body in different situations that you're not used to, and you know, some rock climbing here and there, just having fun and, you know, getting a workout, you know, while I'm doing it.
Like wall climbing.
Yeah, I play baseball for a living, Derek.
Yeah, that's why I
am. Last year, you said a lot of things went well.
Yeah.
What do you take away most as maybe some of your highlights, the things that you got the most gratification from your year in 2017?
Yeah, I think you know, obviously came into the season, you know, not knowing what I was going to do for the team, you know, and just the growth from there on, you know, understanding that, you know, this is my job at the end of the day, regardless if I'm playing or not, and just going out there and, you know, either doing what I got to do, my time is called, or earning the job. And I think last year, you know, I kind of took that job over and didn't give it back, and, you know, I plan on doing the same this year.
Were there traps that you found yourself mentally falling into in previous years, and last year you were able kind of to identify and correct?
Yeah, you know, I think I said this last year too, but, you know, just not taking the game personal. That was something I did before, and, you know, you would have a lot of bad breaks go your way, and you're like, man, why is this happening to me? Instead of, you know, this is just a game. You know, I got away from that for some reason. Baseball does that to you, but, yeah, you know, going back was definitely something that helped me, you know, kind of find that person again and, you know, just understand that, you know, I'm ready to just grind and see what I can do.
Well, did you ask a lot about, like, what you can do in the off season to improve durability during the season? Is that,
yeah. One thing I'm going to try and do this year is, you know, keep the routine I'm doing during the off season throughout the season. You know, so I didn't kill myself working out every single day. I did, you know, 3 days a week, you know, but I did baseball stuff throughout the whole day, or, you know, throughout the whole week. And, you know, kind of going to the season, I want to continue to do that throughout the season. And I think, you know, if you just keep the routine throughout, your body will stay strong and, you know, things will kind of stay where they need to be.
Did you trace a lot of the troubles you had back to extra swings?
For the arms, I think, you know, the elbows and whatnot. Sometimes your body is just not meant to swing as much as that, but yeah, just little things, but it is what it is. You know, 17 was 17, ready for 18.
How much did it bother you? You played only in 2/3 of the games last year. That's not what you signed up for.
Not at all. Not at all. It's not who I am. You know, that's just one of those things, though. We're all human. You know, the body's going to break down at some point, and my year is last year. You know, I learned from that, you know, coming back healthy, strong. Doing a lot of things different, and, you know, I'm excited to see what I'm going to do.
How did you hear about Akendo's return?
Social media. Yeah. You guys, I think. Maybe you. Yeah, no. God, when I found out that, I was so excited. You know, Akendo's like, you know, that dad figure, you know, in the baseball field that everyone has, and he's one of those guys to me. Took me under his wing when I first got drafted. I wasn't a good fielder. Everybody knew that, and, you know, he transformed me to the guy that I am. So I think, you know, getting him back, you know, he can take my game to another level and, you know, hopefully get, you know, to that pinnacle where, you know, I can call myself a really good infielder.
Can you with your guys standing in the division?
I mean, I think his stats speak for itself. You know, bringing that bat into this lineup, And it's exciting, man. I think, you know, Mike's going to have a tough decision finding out how to, you know, put this lineup together. But, hey, whatever it is, let's just roll, man. I think we got a good team and we can do something special.
Would you prefer we call you Pebble?
It almost worked. Almost worked. No, that was just me goofing around. I wrote it down and I was showing my wife and she was like, that's so funny, you should do it. I was like, screw it. You know, I put it on there and see what happens. And we did it. No, 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 didn't. He's with the Yankees now, so he can keep it.
Where are you most comfortable hitting in the lineup? Like, if you had to put yourself.
It don't matter. Yeah, I mean, man, honestly, I'm just gonna go down there and ready to win a spot, you know. And if I'm hitting ninth, I'll hit ninth and do whatever I can, bro. Like, I think I can hit anywhere they need me to hit, and I'm willing to do it. So.
How does 2018 look different to you, knowing that it's in about 2 years' time, you've gone from maybe being what some might call the playing in a vulnerable position to now being the guy that nobody's talking about moving around the infield? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Progression, man. You know, every guy I've talked to throughout the big leagues, they all say there's a progression, you know, to becoming the player you want to be. And for me, it took a little longer, unfortunately, but, you know, I never let anything stop me. I knew that eventually I would figure out how to, you know, compete at this level and stick. And that's what I'm starting to do. And, you know, I'm adding things to my game and getting better every single day. And, you know, I don't think there is, you know, a level where I'm going to stop. I think, you know, I'm ready to keep going. I told my wife, this is an obsession. This isn't, you know, something that I like doing. Like, I'm obsessed with baseball. I want to become as good as I can.
In this lineup, as deep as you might have to bat eighth.
Yeah.
Are you patient enough at this stage of your career to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think people saw how good I was at eighth, yeah. You know, and I was happy down there. You know, I was doing what I needed to do, getting on base and, you know, making the pitcher bunt or, you know, getting them in situations where they could succeed. And, you know, that's what made me help this team last year. And if that's my job this year, you know, I'm going to do it as good as I can. Oh, dude. I mean, we're talking about Ozuna and all these guys, and we forget about Reyes. You know, this guy's a beast. We saw what he did in 2016, and, you know, he's itching. I seen him every single day coming in and working, you know, doing what he needed to do, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. He's going to be a special player for us.
Cole, how important was it to show you could hit left-handed pitching so you weren't platooned out those spots,
yeah,
the starting lineup?
That was big. You know, I took those at-bats personal. I wanted to, you know, every single lefty, regardless of who it was, I wanted to crush them. You know, it was like, I need to prove that I can hit these lefties if I want to stay out here. You know, I've been making this pitch about how I want to be an everyday player, and now it's time to show it. And, you know, last year was definitely in the case that I put up, you know, a good year, and I'm excited to, you know, continue to with my growth.
Your on-base percentage skyrocketed last year. It was like 378.
Yeah.
Was that a conscientious change?
Yeah, it was. You know, I was telling my brother this, you know, I stopped trying to hit balls that I knew I could hit. Instead, I started hitting balls I knew I could drive. And, you know, when you put yourself in that situation, you lay off a lot of, you know, pitches that these pitchers are trying to get you out with. You know, so I went to that and I stuck with that the whole season. And, you know, it changed my game. And you talk to anybody, that's the key to hitting, man. These pitchers are too good. You got to be selfish and you got to be selective. And, you know, when we're getting ourselves out, that's on us because these pitchers are always, you know, going to do what they want to do.
Are we going to have two Wong starting at second base in the big leagues this year?
I mean, I hope, man. I hope. That guy deserves it. Worked with him this whole offseason. Looked really good, so we'll see.
What's your schedule? Will you go down early to work with Akendo again?
Yeah, I'm going on Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah. Figure he's there already. Paul's down there. You know, let's get after it already.
I was going to say, so DM's going to be there Monday.
Yeah.
So you guys can start.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm excited, man. Got all the right guys. Who's what?
Who's got the better turn, double play turn at second?
From second base?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at the guy. That's why it's my position.
Just, once Paul got settled in the shortstop,
yeah,
we could see strides that he made, but what did you see playing next to him? I mean, just how far did he advance just in the course of last year?
It's crazy. You know, it took me this long to get where I'm at right now. That guy, I mean, it's unbelievable, man, what he did last year coming up. Could you imagine if he was up the whole season, what might have happened? You know, it's crazy to see what he did last year. I mean, the guy settled himself really quick and, you know, never let any big situation get to him or, you know, any small situations bother him. He took care of business.
Is that something that you and Paul coordinate? You guys been in touch to kind of go down there and work together?
No, he's just down there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Orlando and he said he's been going down. So I usually go on to spring training pretty early anyways, but I was like, screw this. I'm just going to go on as early as I can with him. You know, Kendall's down there already, so I know I'm going to get my infielding work in and just get after it already.
Have you talked to Kendall yet?
Not yet. I plan to text him once I'm heading down there.
Do you talk to Paul at all about the way your journey kind of played out? Because you said it took you a while to be you.
Yeah.
The way that you are. Have you talked to him about like what that process looks like for him at all?
Not really. I don't really want to bring that into his head when he's doing what he's doing. You know, hey, just keep going with your path. And, you know, everybody has a different way of approaching it, man. I think mine was just, it was a fun ride. You know, it was crazy. But, hey, it is what it is.
Colt, like, the excitement you have, there's, you know, some people are looking around at the names that are still out there. And, oh, the Browns should get this guy. They should add this guy. You seem pretty jazzed already about what the team has done. How transformative do you think this offseason?
It was good, man. We got some good guys that we needed. But honestly, I didn't think we were missing a lot last year. You know, and that's not for me to say what we were missing, but, you know, our team was good last year. We just had a lot of unfortunate breaks, I felt like, and, you know, things that just didn't go our way. You know, extra inning games that didn't go our way and big hits that got taken away. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that just went down. But, you know, adding the guys that we did, just the little corner pieces that we added, it's going to make this team scary, you know, because we have the speed, we have the talent. Now you're just adding a couple other guys to solidify this whole thing.
Cool. How does having a bullpen that you know is a lockdown bullpen change things for a position player, even change the mentality of a team?
Man, I mean, I think we all know what those guys get paid to do, you know, and when you have a lockdown bullpen like some of these guys do, and you know what we're trying to accomplish right now, it's once you get to those 7th, 8th, 9th innings, it's basically, you know, game over. You know, and that's the thing when you have a lockdown bullpen is they bring that kind of, you know, fear to players, to teams, knowing that, man, if we get to the 7th inning with this team, it's game over. You know, we can try and see what we can scratch away, but sometimes you just know these guys are, you know, that good.
Colton, have you talked to any family or friends this afternoon with this crazy story?
Oh, my God, man. I was freaking out. Wow. Freaking out. Absolutely freaking out. Saw that on, again, social media. You know, that all my family at home were getting those, you know, missile threats and whatnot. I called my brother. This guy's on the beach fishing right now, you know, and he was panicking, packing up his stuff, throwing it into the car. It's just, that's, you know, insane how that's an accident. Like,
how soon did they find out that it was a false alarm?
Like 30 minutes after.
Wow.
Like, and it's supposed to only take 15 minutes for, you know, a missile to hit Hawaii. So to have that happen, you know, guys are sitting there scared, freaking out, not knowing what's going to happen. It was insane.
Did you get an alert on your phone?
No. Only in Hawaii you got one, I think.
Where was your brother fishing?
No, he was on the cliffs, like doing some
cliff.
Yeah.
They have alarm towers set up? How does that even
work? No, it was all kind of like Amber Alert almost in Hawaii. Just everyone got one of those, you know, at like 6 o'clock in the morning. They said the whole beach like started panicking. Guys were freaking out, throwing their poles, throwing everything. Guys were storming out of the beach. I mean, just freaking out. I mean, what else are you going to do? A missile's supposed to come and take out, you know, the whole island. So it was insane.
Colton, where were you when that happened? How quickly did you find out that there was an alert?
I was eating breakfast, man. I just woke up, you know, getting breakfast. And then all of a sudden, you know, on my phone, I started seeing these things pop up about, you know, this isn't, you know, a joke. This is a real thing. You know, I'm like, what? You know, I was just freaking out. Like, wait, what's going on? So I instantly started calling everyone. Called my dad. He was just waking up, you know, freaking out too. So it was just a surreal moment.
How far did your brother get? Did he get home?
No. He was packing up, and he was like, man, I don't know what to do right now. You know, by the time he got everything packed, I think he got the message, but it was insane.
What is the goal for people on the island at that point?
Pray. I mean, there's nothing really. Like, we don't have underground shelters there, and, like, you know, we don't have basements or whatnot, so... You know, that thing, if that thing hits, it wipes out everything.